Turn with me tonight to Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to get into the Word of God. We're teaching through the book of Isaiah. We're going to finish it around chapter 23 to 25. Then we'll take a lengthy break. We'll pick this back up next year. And sometime about 2022, we'll be done with the whole book. Amen. I don't do it all in one year because I don't want to wear you out. I like to preach, but at least 3 to 4 months out of the year for the midweek, I want to teach through a book. I feel like that the Bible's still the Word of God, and I don't think we emphasize verse-by-verse preaching, teaching, and reading the Bible enough in church anymore. And I like to teach it. It keeps me sharp. Amen? You know, let me tell you a little secret about preachers. If you can preach, you can preach. But teaching through something allows the Word to get in you, and it makes sure that we are disciplined in our studying every day as well. So we need to do that. And so we're in Isaiah chapter 14. If you're kind of behind on these teachings, if you have an iPhone, download our podcast on iTunes. And see, Michael got so excited he dropped his phone trying to download it up there. Hallelujah. But download it, and you can go back through and catch all the nerdy stuff if you're into that kind of thing. But tonight, the title of my message is The Same Game, The Same Game. I want to talk to you about the strategy of the enemy tonight. I want to make a confession to you. I think we give the devil too much power in our preaching. I don't try to talk about the devil all the time. Why? Because he's been defeated, amen? He's been defeated. He was defeated at the foot of the cross, and I think a lot of times, I believe in spiritual warfare, I believe in demons, I believe in temptation, and all those kinds of things, but at the same time, he's been defeated. And if we know how to put our armor on, how to walk in victory, then the enemy can't touch us, amen? But for a new Christian, and for Christians who are trying to shine their light in a dark world, you need to understand his strategies. They're simple, and they're the same. Once you understand what he's trying to do to your mind, what he's trying to do to your children, what he's trying to do to your purpose, what he's trying to do, then you'll recognize it, and you won't react wrong all the time. How many of you have ever reacted wrong? We all have, amen? Some of us react wrong, and the enemy will keep repeating negative history if you allow him to. He'll keep repeating negative history if you allow him to. So here's what it says. Let's start beginning with verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, everybody say Israel, and will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land. The strangers will be joined with them, and they will cling to the house of Jacob. Then people will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids in the land of the Lord. They will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. You may have been under oppression or in oppression, but eventually your enemies will be defeated. Amen. Eventually, as a Christian, you win. Eventually, you're going to get through this wilderness season and get back to the mountaintop. Somebody needs to receive that tonight. You're not going to stay where you are. You're either going to go backwards or you're going to go forwards. But in the kingdom of God, you cannot stay. You can stand still and consider the wondrous works of God, but you can't stay there. God is always advancing you and moving you forward. Somebody say amen. So that's the good news. Now let's get into some of the difficult parts of the text tonight. It shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say how the oppressor has ceased, the golden city has ceased, the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, he who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger. In other words, the next 4 or 5 verses basically say this: the enemy gets what's his. The ruler of Babylon is going to be defeated. The end is coming for Babylon. The end is coming for Babylon. What does Babylon represent? It represents a world system. At that time, it's Iraq, and if you want to get to the geography of it, it still is, but it also represents a world system. So let's talk about the strategy, the outplayed strategy of the enemy that's been the same since the beginning of time. God's purpose in creating humans was quite simple. It was to bring heaven to earth. It was to bring love back to Him. He created human beings so that heaven could touch earth, and He gave us dominion. He put His image on the inside of us because He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, in accordance with Colossians. So He created us, gave us dominion, gave us everything that we ever wanted. We became kingdom ambassadors, Adam and Eve, but around Genesis chapter 3, what did they say? We want to be our own rulers. We're breaking covenant with you. And they made a choice. And because of that choice, we're still fighting temptations and lusts and flesh to this day. And many murders and wars happened all because of a choice to gain their independence from a holy and loving God. So the only way, biblically, historically, and spiritually, to redeem that was through a second Adam. His name is Jesus. And this text is written many years before Jesus would even be born, although this crazy prophet Isaiah predicted Jesus' birth, predicted what He would do, said He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of my peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. This wild and crazy, naked preaching prophet had an anointing from God. And he was a conduit that could bring heaven to earth. And he predicted all of these things. And he's predicting that Babylon would fall. So in this entire chapter, it talks about the end of Babylon. And then it talks about Assyria going down. And then Philistia coming to rise in this chapter. So one superpower goes down, another one comes up. That's kind of like life, you know. I don't get so caught up in all of these things all the time on planet Earth because things change on a dime. In Isaiah 37, one angel took Assyria down. Read your Bible. And we are so concerned about every election we have that we make our God small. If God can take a nation down with one angel, He can save one with another angel.
Come on, sir.
The problem is, I think we are all in fear, which is not of God, because we know what we deserve because of what we've allowed in this country. No, that's not popular preaching right there. 40 million babies dead. People don't know what gender is now. People don't know. Sad. The Babylonian principle. The founder of Babylon's a guy named Nimrod. Nimrod. How'd you like to be called Nimrod? The name means hunter. In Genesis chapter 10, verse 9, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom. Everybody say his kingdom.
His kingdom.
See, it's always about, in the flesh, an individual's kingdom. That's why you have to watch. Man outside of God will build his own kingdom every time. Even some church folks try to build a kingdom within a kingdom. And you can always spot them. They won't connect. They won't unify. They won't get on board with the vision. They're disjointed. They're out of agreement. It's because of that flesh struggle. They haven't allowed the Spirit to move them into unity. Nimrod. Nimrod is the god of human reasoning. You see, it's what we can figure out, what we can wrap our minds around. What kind of problems can we solve? Nimrod created a new religion, and out of this religion came Baal. How many of you have heard of Jezebel and Baal worship and all of these New Age philosophies? All of this started with a rebellious individual named Nimrod. Revelation chapter 17 calls it the mystery of harlots. The mystery of harlots. Nimrod's wife was a chick by the name of Semiramis. But also, she went by another name, which I thought this was crazy. Isis. Nimrod's son, Horus, Gilgamesh, they say was visited by a spirit, the mother, Isis, visited by a spirit and was impregnated because Nimrod was killed supernaturally. So the enemy tried to copy what was to come with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hate to say this, my friend Dr. Greg Collins would love this, but a lot of our holidays come from this kind of Baal and Nimrod thinking. Right. Even Christmas.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hit me. I love Santa too. I love trees too. I just tell my kids that the tree is the cross, the ornaments are the blood, and Santa has the generosity of Jesus. We don't worship Santa, and I'm not one of those people who thinks you can't have holidays. But it's important you understand a lot of that comes from New Age philosophy, even Easter and Easter Bunny and all of those things. So let's talk about two principles tonight. The Babylonian principle, okay, founded by Nimrod, world thinking, world reasoning. What is it? Number one, it's a fatherless cult. Everybody say fatherless cult. Most of the problems we have in this world are because of a lack of father in the home. If there's no discipline, kids will run wild. If you don't have a leader in place, people will run wild. If there's no accountability, people will go wild. The word Easter comes from this fatherless cult, Ishtar and Ashtaroth. Other religions, even one founded in Rome that I love some of the rituals of, also founded under this same thing. Mother worship is a cult. Where do you think the idea of worshiping the Virgin Mary came from? It did not come from God's word. It came from Nimrod. It came from the Babylonian Empire. That's where this came from. How many of you have heard of worshiping Mother Earth? Forget God. Let's worship the trees. Let's worship the clouds. Let's make sure we protect our government. Let's make sure we protect our whales. Let's make sure we protect our oceans. Nothing wrong with any of that. But when you worship the earth, or when you worship anything that has to do with the mother, you're dealing with a fatherless cult, and that's part of the Babylonian satanic empire that's been around for ages. Everybody say same game. Not only is it a fatherless cult, it's a faithless cult. The Babylonian principle relies on man's wisdom, not God's. Man's wisdom won't get it done in the kingdom of God. Man's wisdom will get you through this life. It may even get you blessed in this life, but you're going to come to a point where all the money in the world and all the wisdom in the world is not going to get you out of whatever mess you're in. Some of the healthiest people in the world end up with disease, end up in death. Why? Because we live in a fallen earth. This Babylonian empire comes to ruin, and Jesus creates a new heaven and a new earth. And we rule and reign with him in that. And so you must understand, it's a fatherless cult. It's a faithless cult. Next, it's a future curse is what the Bible says. Whenever you look through the scriptures from Genesis on, Pharaoh, Caesar, and then into the New Age, Hitler, Stalin, all of these leaders that take on godlike characteristics, it's not new, folks. It's the Babylonian Empire. Okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is what the Bible says. Paul called this evil Babylonian system the mystery of iniquity. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Everybody say the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He has his moment, be it a brief moment. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working, listen to this, of Satan with all power, with all signs and lying wonders. So Satan can do signs too. Don't ever forget that. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Everybody say that's what it's all about. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. Remember when I preached on the rapture on Sunday, I talked to you about the end times, and I said a strong delusion. That word simply means in the Greek that they will not be able to make up their mind. We're already seeing this. They'll not know right from wrong. They'll not know what to teach their kids. I mean, I don't even know anymore, because I teach my kids the Bible, and if I teach them what's right and wrong, they go to school and they say it's wrong, they're getting suspended in a public school. So we're in a time where we can't make up our minds. Even those of us who know, we have to live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. Can't make up our minds. A fatherless cult, a faithless cult, a future curse that will come to fruition. That they should believe the lie, and they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Revelation says that this particular Babylonian religion, I believe it'll be led by radical Islamic people. I don't care. I just believe that. Because what they're doing fits the mode and the model of this Babylonian principle. Maybe there'll be a new religion come that will be worse than a radical Islamic person. I don't know. But it's not the people, do you understand? It's the demonic principle, the empire behind. These people are victims. They're victims. They need the love of Jesus. But it's the empire that must be brought down and will be brought down by the King of Kings when he comes back. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The religion will ride the beast of human government. The Babylonian principle. Everybody say same game. And just one more tonight, the Luciferian principle. This passage of scripture first is about the fall of Babylon, fall of Assyria. Then it gets into the rise of Philistia. And then we get into the Luciferian principle, because later in this text talks about the fall of Satan. Let me read some of it to you. If you've never read this before, you've never read it in Ezekiel. Verse 12, chapter 14. Oh, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend. Listen to this. I'm going to break it down for you to say it. I will ascend into heaven. Listen to all the I's. Beware if somebody's always dropping I statements. Y'all didn't get that. It's true. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. There y'all hear that I again. Will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So we talk about the fall of Satan here. Lucifer, the worship leader in heaven, that before Adam, in a pre-Adamite world, wanted to become like God. He had more than anyone could ever ask for, but it wasn't enough. That's a demonic pull that we all deal with. When is it ever enough? At some point, Jesus Christ crucified has to be enough. At some point, salvation has to be enough. At some point, His grace and His Spirit and our promised hope has to be enough. But why isn't it? It ought to be. He is enough, and His promise to us ought to be enough. How many of you know His promises are true? They last forever. God's not going to leave you, not going to forsake you. God's going to keep his word. So this is about Satan, the hijacker. The one who hijacks the authentic. He tried to hijack worship from heaven. Tries to have worship on earth, but he's a liar, a murderer, a thief. Came to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to accuse. Revelation says he's the accuser of the brethren. And so you have to understand that he's a liar. When the enemy brings your past into your mind and you're a Christian, you need to understand he's the accuser. When he tells you that you can't be, you never were, you never will be, he's a liar. When he says, I'm going to kill you, you're going to die of that disease, you're not worth, it's not worth it for you to live, kill yourself, he's a murderer. And when the enemy comes in like a flood and destroys what you've got, and he tells you, you're never going to get it back, you're going to be broke the rest of your life, he's a thief. But the good news is he's been defeated by the blood of the Lamb. You know, I asked the Lord today, I was actually exercising. Y'all should clap for me. I've been trying to do better. I did about 3 miles a day. Very little jogging, a lot of walking. But I did it, okay? We'll get better. But I was listening and I was praising the Lord and trying to get some word in me. Because I'm so excited about what I'm preaching on 2 weeks from now. I'm excited about Sunday too, but I got a word. Something real fresh in a couple weeks. But I just simply asked the Lord. I just said, Lord, connect me with heaven. I think we get too complicated in our prayers. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Well, there's no sick people in heaven. There's no broke people in heaven. There's no demonized, sad people, depressed people, hurting people in heaven. So when you need a miracle for your children, your grandchildren, your finances, your church, whatever it may be, instead of doing all this stuff, just say, Lord, connect me with heaven. Bring your dimension to earth. That's what it is about, friend. It's so simple. Getting intimate with God and saying, Lord, bring it here. May I be connected to you, all of you, to your throne. And I promise you, when we start praying like that, things will begin to change. Things will begin to change for us. We've got to believe that. So Satan's strategy, the Babylonian principle, which is a government system, now the Luciferian principle, Satan's strategy. Listen to these phrases again. I'll put these in your spirit. I will ascend to heaven, and the enemy always wants to be above you, above God, above your worship. That's the enemy strategy. Recognize it and know it. I will exalt my throne. The enemy longs for praise. And man, when I started studying this, I really got under conviction. And I'm not one of those preachers who believes you can't go to a concert or you can't go to a football game. I mean, my God, I love going to football games. I love doing fun stuff, man. I go and I get after it and I enjoy it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you ever just stop and pause at one of them, and you see 90,000+ people, pick your stadium, doesn't matter, pick your team, and you see the chanting and the worship in unison, and I've been inside those stadiums, and I'll go again. I love football. I love concerts. But here's the situation. Every so often, I get in there and I wonder, man, it'd really be good if we'd do this for Jesus. You know, I mean, And I'm not saying all those things are bad, but some of them are. The enemy's lifted up in some of those circles, and you've got to be able to recognize that the war that went on in that other dimension that we aren't even completely able to understand, but that worship war that went on, the prince of the air, the enemy, wants our worship. And we've got to be guarded that we don't give this world more of our worship than Jesus, who's worthy of it all. The world doesn't get any of it. That Jesus is worthy of it all. But most of us give him about 15% of what he's worthy of. I will ascend to heaven above. I will exalt my throne. He longs for your praise. Listen to this. I will sit on the mount of congregation. That The enemy wants to suppress you, depress you, compress you, and smother you out. So it's not enough, listen to this, for him to be above. It's not enough for him to steal God's praise. Once he gets those two things, then he wants to sit on it all and compress you and depress you and smother you into nothing. The enemy doesn't stop with you being miserable. He wants to destroy you. I will ascend above the heights and the clouds. I mean, is it not enough to ascend to heaven? Is it not enough to exalt his throne? Is it not enough to sit on the mount of congregation? No. He wants above that. Why? Because it's never enough for the enemy. It wasn't enough in heaven. That's why he fell. It's never going to be enough until you are defeated. And then it still won't be enough. He'll go after your family. He'll go after your friends. He'll go after your church. He'll go after your city. He'll go after your nation. He'll go after the world. But the good news is he's defeated. He's defeated whether we live in victory or not. What I'm trying to do is get a little kingdom in you so you'll understand that the enemy's been defeated. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will give you the ability to walk in victory over the enemy. You'll see his strategy, and you won't be swayed by it. Your worship won't be stolen by him because you'll see his strategy. You cannot fall for the same strategy all the time. Then here we go. I will be like the Most High. He wants to be equal to El Elyon. He wants to be the Most High God. Not going to happen. But that's the repeat strategy of this earth that will try to depress you. And if you allow him to run his gauntlet on you, it'll keep you from the victory. So how do we defeat it? Everybody say, put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles, against these strategic initiatives of the devil. That's what we're called to do. Be able to stand against this Babylonian strategy, this Luciferian strategy. Stand. Stand. Stop hating that person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers, everybody say Babylon, of this age. God has called us to more. He's called us to victory. He's called us to walk in his victory. By what? The blood of the Lamb, as we were singing about, and the word of our testimony. Whenever the enemy comes to attack you, accuse you, bother you, remind him of the blood at Calvary, that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Remind him of the blood from his brow, the blood from his side, the blood from his body. But also remind him of the empty tomb. Remind him of the New Testament church. Remind him of the apostles. Remind him of the martyrs' blood. And remind him of the new heaven and the new earth. Remind him that God gets the final say. He gets the final say. And we win. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes with me this evening. Dana's going to come and play. And as he comes, I just want to ask you, is it well with your soul? I know that's the name of an old hymn, but is it well with your soul? First, I know this is the faithful remnant who loves the Bible and loves worship, needs momentum for their midweek. But if you're not saved, simply say, Lord, I confess you as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. If you prayed that prayer, you're born again. That's the first step. But I believe many of you already are born again. And so I believe God wants to do in these next 5 minutes, because God can do it quicker than even 5 minutes. I believe God wants to heal some spirits. Heal some emotions, heal some people, heal some businesses, heal some illnesses tonight. We have a group that meets regularly here, the healing rooms. They pray for sick people. It's what they do. And many of us with kids in three different schools playing three different sports have trouble during the week. I know many of you do, but sometimes when you need a desperate touch, you need to do some desperate things. And so I've asked our leader of that, Brother Dick, to come up tonight. Brother Dick, if you would make your way up here and grab that microphone right there. If you just need God to touch you tonight, would you just stand up? Would you just stand up saying, God, I need you to touch me. I'm sick. I got a problem. I got a family member. I got an emotional issue. I got a kid, grandkid issue. Just stand up. Nothing to be ashamed of. I'm standing up because, Dick, I need some healing in my back. I mean it. I was healed once of a completely different thing, and the enemy has attacked me in a different place here, and it's moved here, and there's dried blood here. I'll show it to you later. It'll probably gross you out. But God told me when I walked in and I saw Dick, I hadn't seen him in a while. I'll pick on him about his attendance later. But God said, Dick's supposed to pray corporately tonight before you leave over anyone that needs healing. And I heard that in my spirit. And you see all the people. Hold your hands up in a place to receive. And I'm going to grant Brother Dick. Brother Dick, I give you full authority as pastor of this church, as one of my dear leaders over the healing ministry of this church, to prophesy, to declare, to do whatever it is the Spirit tells you to do in these next 5 minutes. You do and you say what God tells you to say.
Well, let me say a couple of words before I open up in prayer. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I have a question. Have you? It's easy to say. Isaiah 53:3 says, by Jesus' stripes we were healed. It was a prophetic word hundreds of years before Jesus was born. When Jesus went to the cross, as Ronnie said in his opening words this evening, he's a defeated enemy. But what did Jesus do at the cross? That is why the enemy was defeated. In Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Those are terrestrial enemies here in the first heaven on earth. Demons, if you will. And over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Nothing. And Jesus went to the cross and went down into the bowels of the earth and took back the keys from the enemy that had been given to him at where? The garden, by the fall of Adam and Eve. And Jesus took those keys back and return the authority to us. So what I want you to do this evening is, I want all of us to appropriate, and this is what we're teaching, by the way, in life groups. If you're not in life groups, I really urge you to go studying a book by Neil Anderson. But that's what we're talking about, is the enemy and what he's doing and what our authority is. You know, the enemy has no authority now. So what is he doing that Pastor Ronnie was talking about? He is using what we give him. Only what we give him. Only what we give him. Can you imagine that? We're letting a defeated enemy run all over us. Whether we're talking about demonic attacks or whether we're talking about sickness or illness, which is also demonic, of course. So tonight, when I go to prayer, what I would like you to do is, I would like you to envision Jesus on the cross and then the resurrection, where he gave us the power. He gave us the power. Ephesians 3:20 says that by God's love and the power that dwells in us. That's us. It's in us now, right here, at this moment. So when I pray tonight, I want you to appropriate that authority for yourself. that Jesus gave you at the cross over all power of the enemy in your life, whether it be a spirit of fear or a spirit of anger or depression, whatever that spirit is, take control over it. And from this day forward, ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. And knock, and it will be opened unto you. Anything you ask of God, He will tell you. He will show you. The Holy Spirit will show you the way. But tonight, let's appropriate our authority. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we appropriate the authority that Jesus gave us at the cross, which is all power over the enemy. All power over the enemy. And right now, for these people who are here, Father, we close shut, slam shut any door that's been opened to the demonic in the past, no matter how it was opened. You can name that under your breath. You may know you have a spirit of fear or a spirit of anxiety or a spirit of anger and others, spirit of infirmity. Take command over that and say, Spirit, I command you to stand down right now. I forbid you to operate in my body, in my mind, in my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. And if you have an illness, name that illness and say, I command you now to leave my body by the name of Jesus Christ. Because I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I have the authority. You tell them, you have the authority. You have none. I have the authority. You as individuals, you as sons and daughters of Christ, have the authority over all power of the enemy. He is a toothless, roaring lion, but he will do whatever he can when we give him and allow him to do it. He will run roughshod over us. So, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we command healing to take place in everyone's body, no matter what the disease is. It comes from Satan, comes from the fall of the garden, and we command that disease right now to stand down. We forbid it to operate, and we command healing into the body of everyone here. Everyone here. Every door that has been opened to the demonic in the past, no matter whether it was generational, no matter whether it was in our childhood, no matter what in the world it is, we slam that door now. We destroy any strongholds, and we cast them out. We rebuke and renounce and cast away the enemy from us right now in the name of Jesus. To go to the feet of Jesus, to be sent where Jesus would send them. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your healing that you have given us by Jesus' power in us, by his resurrection at the cross. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Be healed and appropriate your authority. Amen and amen.
Give God a shout of praise tonight, a victory. Go to abbashouse.com. Learn more about the healing rooms. Come by one night. Brother Dick has promised me, and I believe him with all of my heart, the people that come in off the street, dirty, they'll be loved first and discipled second. They'll not be judged in that healing room. They'll be loved, and they'll be healed. And so I believe with all of my heart, if we'll not only invite people to church and tell them about Jesus and shine our light in the city, but if we'll bring people who have been sick, emotionally, physically, this group that they're building is going to love them first and see God heal them. So I love you all. I'm going to release you tonight to go get your children, your students, whatever you need to do. Take this healing, take this anointing with you. It's not to stay here. It's to go back home with you into your workplace, into your family, into your house. So receive it and take it with you. On Sunday, song, I'm going to tell you how to have a song in the night. Don't miss it. I'll see you back on Sunday. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Go get your children from Pastor Adam so he doesn't yell at me tomorrow, okay? God bless you. Play golf with us in a couple of weeks or pay for somebody else to play. Help us.